Now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritances were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest. For Joseph's descendants had become two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh, Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But, the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war.
Last time when I stood here, I told the audience I had so nervous. I'm so nervous. Today, my nervousness is lessened. That means I'm improving. I thank the Lord for this. Yeah. Anyway, I think English for me is still a long way to go. I try very hard, you know, every evening before I go to bed. I read 3 chapters of the Bible. Now I'm reading Ezekiel, something like that. You know, after the Lamentation, yeah, 3 chapters each evening. Well, I'm trying my very hard to improve. I just pray that, you know, everybody in the church will also pray for me, that my English will be up to standard. At least I can preach, communicate well enough, you know, to each one of you. The reading for today, I don't know how many of you noticed that at least three verses are identical. But anyway, I'll show that up to you. Let's pray first. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We have some rain, but the sun comes out and it brings us, you know, joy, bring us hope, bring us delight. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And I commit my sermon into your hand and ask that, Lord, you will be with us, and especially with me, that I can communicate well. Each one will understand your word. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. This is the theme verse I'm going to preach. Actually, I was giving out, you know, the verse, just one verse, but later on I changed my mind. I asked Barbara to read the whole chapter, because after reading the whole chapter, each one will understand more about, you know, the background. Before I proceed, I just want to ask how many of you come across this word Carnish Barnea. This is a name of a place. Or how many of you have read Numbers chapter 13 and 14? Yeah, and of course, this is taken from Joshua 14, the whole chapter. Yeah, Kadesh Barnea is the background of the whole story. At the time, the people of Israel was wandering in the wilderness. God asked them to capture or to get into Canaan to get the promised land. And they asked to go into the land, and Moses selected from the 12 tribes. Each tribe selected a leader as a spy to explore Canaan. So they selected 12 tribe leaders. And then after 40 days of expedition, they have to give a report. 10 tribes leader, they say the land was just very, very good. They have a lot of produce, you know, especially grapes. But the report, on the other hand, that the enemy there, they were very strong, and they think the people of Israel will not be able to conquer the land or to get into the land and get settled. Only two tribe leaders. I think most of you know the name. There's Joshua and Caleb. They said that if God pleases, God pleased, Israel could overcome. The other 10 said, you know, the people, they are like giants. They were like giants, and we are like grasshoppers. The people of Israel, after hearing the 10 tribe leaders saying, and that they began to feel unrest, grumble, a lot of disturbances, even rebel. Caleb silenced the people, and he told the people, you know, we should go and take the land. But the people did not listen to him. And God's wrath, of course, anger, just burst out and judged that the people over 40 years old will not be able to get into the land of Canaan. Only the age of 20 or above, they cannot get into the land. Only the age of under 20, they are able to get into the land. God proclaimed that only two persons, just Joshua and Caleb, could enter Canaan. So in the event, God spoke to the following words in Numbers chapter 14, 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and followed me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit. Before I proceed, I just want to ask, how many of you will know that the number of verses that appeared talking about the whole story? How many verses are there? In the book of Joshua, we just read from chapter 14, there are three verses. I just mentioned one, the first one is from the Numbers, and then we have two other verses. Altogether, there are six verses that appeared in the Bible speaking about the same theme. Okay, so we try to list out these six verses, okay? This is from number 1424. Yes. Can you see it? Okay. Can we read together?
Yeah.
Yeah. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Can you see I put two questions there? Who said it and why it is said? Who said it?
Moses.
Moses? Maybe we can read one more time. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. James, you are the youngest here. Who said it?
God
said it. Yes, God said it. Remember this. God said it. The first time God said this. And he, at what manner, you know, was the situation that God said this verse, you know, or spoke this verse? Actually, God commanded Caleb and said Caleb was his servant. Servant, God's servant. And also made a promise that Caleb and his descendants can inherit the land. God said it. You know the background? The background I just, you know, shared. You know, it was then God or Moses sent 12 spies into the land to spy the land and, you know, get the result. And the 10 leaders that they say the land is good, but we cannot capture, we cannot occupy the land because of the people there. They like giants and we like grasshoppers, and we are not able to capture the land. Okay, God said it. God commanded, and this verse, there's a sentence. Not mentioned in other five verses. The first one, the first sentence. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit that is not appeared in other five verses. So what is so significant of this different spirit? Altogether 12 leaders. But only one, God commanded him. He has a different spirit. I think this is the only time in the Bible that God used this term or this word. Somebody has a different spirit. Are we having a different spirit? A different spirit is a comparable word. That means it has to get something to compare. Compare to what? Caleb has a different spirit. How different? Compared to the other 11, or at least the other 10, they are very bad, and Caleb was very good. That means his spirit is a very good spirit. Or the other 10 is they are too good, and Caleb is too bad. So he has a very different bad spirit. From the whole verse, we can see that was God was commending him. God was kind of praising him. God put up his thumb that Caleb was very good. He has a different spirit. How different? God said, how different? He followed me wholeheartedly. This is the difference. Are we following God wholeheartedly? Remember, he was only 40 years old. If you want to explore, you know, how he got this different spirit, it must appear to the book of Exodus. When Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, this Caleb, among many young people at that time, he was the one has a spirit. That means he must witness the miracles God performed, the 10 miracles at least, you know, to the people of Egypt or to Pharaoh. He must witness. And also, while in the wilderness, there are also other miracles. God used the cloud to lead the people of Israel, or to cover the sun, that people can have a good rest, you know, even under the sun. And evening, God used the pillar of fire or something like that to give them warmth. These things, I think, Caleb was all put into his heart to get himself a different spirit. That means this God, Moses told us, must be the very true God. So he is different. Other people may not have the same feeling, but he has. So Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 24. God commanded Caleb has a different spirit. And Caleb followed me wholeheartedly. And the promise to Caleb and his descendants, I will bring him to the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. This is the first verse. And the second verse, number 32, chapter 32 and verse 12. We read together, okay? Okay, now. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Who said it? Who said it?
Moses.
God? Moses? Joshua? Caleb? Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The hint is from Numbers, the book of Numbers 32. We have to have the background, you know, and then we know who said it. Yeah. Moses said it. Moses. What was the circumstances, or what was the situation? Number 32, chapter 42, Moses said it. It was when the 2.5 tribe, Gadites and Reubenites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, asked Moses to grant them the land before crossing the river Jordan. That means 2.5 tribes at the river of Jordan. They didn't want to go into the land. The 2.5 tribe want to stay back because they found the land was so beautiful. So they want to settle there. And Moses at that time ask these two tribes, if you don't go with the other of the rest of the Israelites, how we can unite as a nation, or we can unite as a race, you know, to get into and fight for the battle. And then the 2.5 tribe promised Moses that our men, young men or male, will go with other Israelites, but the women and children, we want to stay behind and occupy the land. You know, they don't want to go into, they don't want to cross the River Jordan to get into the land. And Moses used this person, Caleb, again, and warned, in my understanding, Moses warned the people, or the 2.5 tribe, you are selfish. You are not thinking the whole picture. You are just thinking your own need, your own well-being. So from my understanding, when Moses said, none, not one, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholehearted. That means they won them. Only Joshua was mentioned here, and Caleb, they are allowed to get into the land. These two, they are not selfish. These two, Joshua and Caleb, they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That means Moses made a contrast. You 2.5 tribes, you people, you are so selfish, but just look at Caleb. At the incident of Kadesh Barnea, they follow the Lord wholeheartedly. They hold different opinion from the rest of the 10 tribes. But now you and your 2.5 tribe people, you are selfish. You are not looking, you are not doing the God's will, you are not trusting the Lord, you just think of yourself. So this is the background, the second verse appear here. And then we are reading the third verse. Deuteronomy chapter 1, 36. Can we read together? Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Who said it? Moses, right. But what is the background, you know, when Moses said, Deuteronomy chapter 1 has a background, and of course this verse, Moses said it. Moses referred God's word also, you know, at the incident of Kadesh Barnea event. Moses spoke to the people of Israel. When you understand Deuteronomy chapter 1 is the background, actually, you know, the word Deuteronomy means, you know, to speak again, you know, the law, okay, Deuteronomy. So the background was that Moses was speaking to a new generation. That means these people is maybe about 40 years after the event of Kadesh Barnea, we call it new generation. They are ready to go into the land, to capture the land and inherit the land. So Moses spoke to the people of Israel. The audience was the new, I call it generation, and they were preparing to make a move to enter the land of Canaan. Moses repeated the Kadesh Barnea event as an encouragement. I see it. This is an encouragement. Caleb was used as a testimony. Okay? Moses used Caleb as a testimony to encourage the younger generation. They are preparing to go into the land. So this is Deuteronomy. This is the third appearance of the verse. Follow me wholeheartedly. And then the rest three appeared at the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 8. Let me read it. But my fellow Israelites, or brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Joshua chapter 14, the rest of three verses, chapter 14, 8, 9, and I guess it's 20, appeared the same, you know, this verse. But this is very significant, because this is the event 40 years after Kadesh Barnea incident. That means Caleb told Joshua and the rest of the people, how old was he now? 85. That means 40 years after the incident of Kadesh Barnea. This is his testimony, because this is the time Joshua gathered all the people and about to divide the land to different tribes. And Caleb was the first tribe, or the first one, to approach Joshua to ask him to give me the land. Give me the land. Why? Because God has promised 40 years ago. God has promised only Caleb and his descendants can inherit the land. Now I am here. Now I want to inherit the land. I want the land. So Caleb approached Joshua, and he was the first one in the whole, you know, among the 12 tribes. He asked Joshua for the land. So when Joshua was ready to divide the land of Canaan to the people of Israel, Caleb asked and asked him for the land. Caleb testified, give a testimony about himself. You know, 40 years ago, God commanded me. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. 40 years ago, I followed the Lord wholeheartedly. This is my testimony. 40 years, no wavering, no turning back, no turning to other, you know, side. Wholeheartedly, 40 years. So this is the testimony of Caleb. And then, let me see the next one. Joshua, chapter 14, verse 9. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which you feel have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Who said it? Joshua? Most likely Joshua, right? No. No, Caleb himself. Caleb himself. Chapter 14, verse 8, he gave his own testimony. And then, verse 9, he referred to Moses. So on that day, Caleb referred Moses. Moses on that day swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Same person, Caleb. First one, verse 8, he gave testimony on himself. And then the second, following verse, this verse 9, he referred to Moses. Moses swore to me, I have the ability, or I have the, I was given, you know, by God's name or something like that, I can inherit the land. please give me the land. He was asking Joshua for the land. Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that to your children forever. Okay, the last one, a bit tricky. Let me see. Let us read the last one. Oh, Joshua chapter 14, verse 14. We can say it together. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Who said it? Joshua? It seems Joshua, but I don't think Joshua. My answer was not Joshua. Not God, not Joshua, not Caleb himself. Moses? Moses died. This is the writer of the book of Numbers. Oh, not the number. It's the writer of the book of Joshua. Concluded. And he said, so therefore, that means Hebron, conclude the event, huh? Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord. That means Caleb followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. So we have studied six verses, same theme. Caleb has a different spirit, and he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. What we can learn from Caleb then? I think we can learn from Caleb three things. Number one, if Caleb has a different spirit, can we also has a different spirit? I think we can also have a different spirit like Caleb. Can we? Caleb has a spirit different from the other 10. And if we compare, the term there here, Caleb has a spirit different from the other 10 spies. He was a spy. But the other 10 also spy. The other 10, I think they were also young men, like about the same age as Joshua and Caleb. They called Caleb called them brothers or fellow Israelites. They went into the land to do the expedition. If you know the chapter, Exodus chapter 17, there was a battle, and this is their first battle. And many other incidents. They are friends, they grew up together, they work together. But these people, when they face the major or very important decision, their thinking or the decision will be different. We can also have a different spirit like Caleb. I think we are not old enough, we can reflect like Caleb. When we discuss this from the book of Joshua, he was 85. I think I am about to 70. And I reflect myself the years as a Christian. I ask myself, do I or have I a different spirit? I think I can say here, I do also have a different spirit. I see that many of you are you know, older than I am and have been a Christian for a long, long time. You have a different spirit when you have become, when you become a Christian. And the second thing I'm going to ask is what we can learn from Caleb. I think we can hold on to our faith like Caleb. I ask myself, do I have a different spirit? The second question I ask myself, do I have a faith? Hold on, I faith. Many years until the day I see the Lord. I think we can hold on to our faith like Caleb. Caleb hold on his faith from young to his old age. From his 40 years, I think even before, you know, 40 years old, he has a different spirit and faith. And he kept his faith year after year after year. 45 years later, I think he's old enough, but he said he still can fight. He still can enter, you know, by God's grace, capture the land or inherit the land. 45 years is not a short period of time. Many struggles, many hardships, many temptations, many chances for us to turn away from our faith. What we can learn from Caleb, I think the third thing is we can trust God's promise to the end like Caleb. 40 years ago or 45 years ago, the Lord promised him the land. He kept this faith. He trusted God will one day give me the land. Not 40 years, not at the Kadesh Barnea in that incident, but God's promise must avail it. God will fulfill what he said. Okay? So Caleb was trusting God's promise from day one to day 45 years ago, 45 years later. I don't know if God has any promise to you. At least God has one promise, a very important promise, is God's salvation. For me, I trust God will bless my family from day one. So today, I can testify God's promise is valid. God's promise true. God has any promise to you? If God has promised to you, God will fulfill his promise. The one thing you do is to trust God's promise. And I want to share a story. I don't know how much time we have. A young man and a young lady, they got, fell in love. And the girl's parents, they were not very happy with their relationship, the two young men. So the boy decided not only to court the girl, but also her parents. In time, a girl's parents realized that the boy was a good man, and they agreed for their marriage. When the parents agreed, another problem arose. The boy was drafted in army, and soon he was sent to the battlefield. And he was drafted for 1 year. Before he left, the boy and the girl, they were engaged. They agreed that they would get married once the boy returned from the battlefield. About a month later, the girl got into a car accident. When she woke up, she saw her mother and father crying. Immediately she knew what happened. Something went wrong. She found that she suffered from brain injury. Parts of her brain that controlled her face muscles were damaged. Her once lovely face was now disfigured. Her body was covered with so many wounds. Seeing herself in mirror, in her wounds, she cried and said, "Yesterday I was beautiful, but today it's all gone." Right there and then, she decided to release her fiancé from their promise. That means the engagement she wants to annul. She didn't want him to see her like this. For 1 year, the boy wrote many letters, many calls, but she didn't reply. After 1 year, the girl's mother walked into her room and said, He's back from the war. He's here to meet you." The girl shouted, "No, please don't tell him about me," and asked him to leave. But the mother said, "He's getting married and he is here to give his wedding invitation to you." Seeing this, mother handed her the boy's wedding invitation. The girl was sad and her heart sank. He knew that she still loved him, but now she had to forget him now. With great sadness, he opened the invitation and then she saw her name on the invitation. So she confused and asked her mother, "What's this?" And just then, the young man entered her room with a bouquet of flowers. He knelt beside her and asked, "Will you marry me?" The girl covered her face with her hands and said, "Don't look, please. I am not beautiful anymore. I look ugly." Young man replied, "Without your permission, your mother sent your photos of yours to me. When I saw these photos, I realized that nothing has changed. You are still the person I felt in love with. You are still as beautiful as ever. I love you." This is not a good story, but it's a good ending, right? Of course, they got married later. What is firm? What is loyal? You know, we just read six verses, you know. This man, Caleb, followed the Lord wholeheartedly, 45 years, or more than 45 years. Or even when he came to know the Lord, all his life, he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The story of this young men and women that they got married, but this is the only beginning. 40-some years after they have their wedding anniversary, they reflected, you know, the past years. They have a lot of troubles. They have a lot of difficulties in their marriage. They have a lot of disagreement on many things. They argued. They have contracted sicknesses, they lost jobs, they have financial difficulty, they have many, many, many difficulties. But anyway, trusting each other, they get through all these difficulties. Isn't it grace? Isn't it, you know, the mercy of God? Yes, it is. Time will tell, and time is a good thing to test our faith. Caleb, many years after, he still can testify in front of the people. If I say in front of the young generation, 45 years ago, I was in Kadeshbarnea. Lord commanded me. I have a different spirit. Even today, the same spirit is still with me. Even today, I still walked, I still follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Shall we pray? Yes, pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. So precious, Lord, we thank you. We just trust the church people here into your hand, including myself. Each one of you so precious in your sight. Lord, be with us and keep your promise and keep your love, keep your hope. You know, when we walk our daily, you know, lives, we will not abandon. We love you, Lord. So we commit ourselves into your hand, each one of you, each one of us, into your hand. Ask for your blessings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.